Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You want to serve, soldier?
Yes, sir.
That's good, son, because you're either serve or fight.
Tom Thayer.
The man brings you to your feet.
Color analyst for Bears Radio on WBBM.
I just think you got to stay threatening, and I keep using the word vertical. That's how you're going to threaten this defense.
9-year NFL veteran.
McMahon gets it outside of me.
No one there. There was no one within 10 yards of Walter Payton on that one.
Tom Thayer was out in front of Payton with a good block.
Starting right guard for your 1985 Chicago Bears.
Jeff Stover was inside. He was handled excellently by Tom Thayer.
You probably still have the Black and Blues Brothers poster hanging on your wall.
Hilgenberg is the center. Thayer and Bortz at guard, and Van Horn and Covert the tackles.
Tom Thayer.
The confidence that this team built in themselves, I gotta believe there's a positive road ahead for the Chicago Bears.
Tom Thayer with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Where the Hour is brought to you by Santana Energy Services. Visit SantanaEnergyServices.com. Normally hub at 4 o'clock on Tuesdays. He's a little under the weather, though, so we're going to talk to Tom Thayer by way of the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. How's it going, Tom?
I'm doing well, man. How you guys doing?
We are outstanding. A moment of silence must be observed for the coaching career of Ron Rivera in Carolina, though. Your former teammate popped today. The new owner saw he took over the team last year, and this is the second consecutive late-season fizzle for the Panthers. So thank you very little, Ron. He's shown the door, and we were talking about some of the potential coaching vacancies in the offseason. We figure probably at least five of them. I suspect Chico will find work again as a head coach.
Well, you know, I asked him on the field before the Carolina Panthers preseason game with the Bears this year what his future held. And he said that he would have liked to finish out the contract at Carolina and then get one more before he called it quits. And so Ron, I know he still has full interest in being a head coach in the NFL. He's going to be a great candidate somewhere. He brings a lot of experience to the table. And, you know, maybe there are some things that have to be done within an organization to help Ron Rivera, because he's, as well as he's had it there and they've had some talented guys and they did some really good work in the draft, I don't know if Cam Newton has helped him create a championship caliber team, or some of his antics and some of his play and style has hurt their opportunity to win a Super Bowl.
Not being in one piece sure hasn't helped. They had some kid off of a guy, I can't even remember, the little bitty school they finished the season with last year, and this year they had another kid trying to step in and did a nice job early on. Yeah, I'm not sure if Newton's ever going to win a Super Bowl. But anyway, that's not why you called. We want to talk some Bears-Lions with you. And I thought a pretty damn good effort for the most part by Mitch Trubisky this past Thursday against the Lions. I think that's his best game of the year. I saw a lot of things to be encouraged by, and he didn't have a lot of help. He had another drop ball by Allen Robinson, and the offensive line continuing to make mistakes with bad penalties. He had a lot to overcome, and he did.
Yeah, you know, I think that it was a really well done by Matt Nagy, that opening drive that they took possession of the ball and were able to get down the field and score. And I know the result was it that Detroit came and threw a long touchdown pass right after. But it was really about what you can do to get this offense motivated and going in the right direction. And you mentioned it, you know, Mitch had a good game. And I think the most encouraging thing about it was after he threw that interception against Darius Slay, he didn't throw another interception after. He was really, he wasn't protective or over careless with the football. He threw it in the right direction to the right receivers, allowed them to make plays or make run after the catch. And so Mitch did a really nice job of concentrating on the task at hand after he threw that interception.
How much do you think Matt Nagy has simplified this offense, we'll say, over the last month or so?
You know, I think maybe simplified it to the point where you can repetitiously do things with more frequency. You know, I do think in any quarterback, any position, and any player, everything is so repetitiously learned. So the more you can do it, whether it's in the game or at practice, the more familiar you become with it, the more habit-forming the play is to run, no matter against what defense, whatever the circumstances are, time on the clock, field position, hash mark. And so I do think that this offense has a lot of expansion ahead of it, but you got to be able to learn the base ground of it so well that, like I said, all these things become habit-forming with everybody. You know, when you have all the interchangeable bodies at offensive line, you've never really been able to construct a game plan before game, knowing exactly who you're going to have on the field, whether you're putting together plays for Adam Shaheen and he's not there, or you put together a selection of plays for Trey Burton and he's not there. You don't have any plays for a guy like Javon Wims, but now he's starting to show up more than he was at the beginning of the year. So I think there's been a lot of difficult in the elements of consistency with the personnel on the field also.
Has Anthony Miller arrived, Tom?
You know, I'll tell you, if he stops celebrating kind of selfishly after he makes a big play, and if you can have this type of performance out of him for multiple games and you don't, you know, kind of lose him for a game with a lack of concentration, it is frustrating to me that when I see a guy that it wants to celebrate more than being aware of the time on the clock, the personnel changes, and things that you can do to help your coach. So, hey, we know he has skill. He's got the quickness. He is courageous over the middle. But, you know, stop focusing on what you're accomplishing and try to accomplish something for the team.
You know, Tom, I normally am very pro-celebration, but on this one, I agree with you. Because I remember when Anthony Miller came out, he was comped to, like, his absolute ceiling, obviously, was Steve Smith of the Carolina Panthers. And Steve Smith would talk a ton of trash and celebrate and spin the ball and get up right in the guy's face. But there was never any question about whether or not Steve Smith knew the route tree. And if he knew the playbook. And so I will have no problem with Anthony Miller if he does that, and if that's part of the thing that pumps him up and gets him ready, as long as the weekly story of he was supposed to run his route 12 yards and instead he went 14. Like, once he eliminates the mental errors that seemingly plague him every week, I'll have no problem with the other stuff. How about you?
Well, I agree with you. To me, mental errors are unacceptable. I don't care what position you play, because you just can't have one guy that's freelancing or one guy that's even a half a quarter second, a second out of step, because it's going to screw up the whole play. Listen, if he wants to get into the end zone, he can do all the celebrating he wants. But just kind of be aware before the play starts of what is the scenario we're facing in terms of how quickly we either got to get to the line of scrimmage or we're in the midst of a no-huddle offense. Listen, man, I like Anthony Miller's enthusiasm, because I think it's contagious, and I think it gets other guys excited that sometimes have a lackluster approach to getting to that level of excitement. But just again, this, you know, the Bears team, they're not capable of overcoming huge mistakes or obstacles that they're putting in front of themselves. So I'm just saying, with Anthony, just kind of be aware of the next play situation and understand what you need to do to help your team get on or off the field quickly.
Tom, I'm hoping David Montgomery has made his point to the head coach that, hey, I'm a maximum effort guy. I'll push the pile. Give me the damn football regularly.
Agree, 100%. I love David Montgomery. But you know what, Mac, too, is, you know, after the catches he made in that Detroit game, the one that he was split out as a wide receiver and made the guy miss an open field tackle, and then the one that he changed position from a running back up to a kind of an edge receiver and then came across the middle in the easy touchdown to Trubisky. You know, I always had a tremendous amount of respect for the way he carried himself throughout training camp, the way he's trying to understand and learn how the blocks are choreographed in front of him so he can make a quicker decision in terms of where and how the hole is going to open up. But I like the ability to threaten him as a receiver, because I think it changes the way that the defense can construct themselves on the interior of the defense, and also how they can be responsible for covering him as a legitimate receiver.
Tom, I know it's the Lions, but I've seen the last couple of weeks Mitch Trubisky seem a lot more comfortable at the line of scrimmage, checking out of plays, audibling, running, like, you know what I mean, getting the snap off with plenty of time on the play clock. He seems to be more in control. Is it a product of the competition or something else?
I think it's a product of having good practices. And, you know, and the way, I mean, probably there's more evidence that if a quarterback's having a good practice than any other position player on the field, unless you're a receiver that gets five balls thrown to you in a practice and you drop them all. But if you watch Mitch's development through, you know, times at practice where he becomes more confident in his downfield accuracy, he has a chance to make more immediate decisions because he is saying things and seeing things for the hundredths of time throughout the course of a regular season. And I just think that's one of the expectations that we all have to put on Trubisky, is that he is going to improve. He is going to – I know they wanted to use that word at the beginning of the season, incremental development, but I think we've reached the time that we need significant development in each time that he gets a chance to go on the field. And, you know, just like, you know, last week, carrying it onto the field of Detroit, you know, Detroit up until that point, they had only given up less than 90 yards rushing a game. So you knew that you weren't going to go in there and just be, you know, 200 yards rushing against Detroit, take pressure off the quarterback. It's like you're kind of getting enough out of the running game to be a little bit deceiving on the line of scrimmage, but Mitch is going to be the guy that's going to have to throw the ball efficiently to get those chunk plays out of the way. And from the last drive of the game, you know, he was able to do that in a couple, you know, with a couple passes to Anthony Miller.
The Bears really were fortunate to run the table on Detroit. You had 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, Jeff Driskel slinging the ball on their last possession, trying to upset the Bears. And David Blough did it this past week with maybe a little, if Kenny Golladay isn't off the field with a helmet malfunction, who knows how that thing shakes out. Some great play from Roquan Smith, but there are things to be troubled by with the defense this past week. Yes.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because you go there, the first game that you play against Detroit, you face Driskel. And the first play of the game they ran was a RPO to the right-hand side, and the quarterback ended up throwing the ball in a play that you never run with Matthew Stafford. So then you get ready to play against Driskel and kind of his leg versatility from behind the line of scrimmage, and then you play against David Blough, who never runs the ball. So I'm not making up excuses because I do think, I don't want to see defensive backs peeking into the backfield when you don't know what a quarterback is capable of doing and how quickly he can make a read if there's some type of defensive back breakdown. So, you know, Mac, I don't think there's a game this year that after the game that a Bears have won, it's going, man, that was this, everything's downhill, this is great. Every game that they've won this year has just been kind of a relief victory. Mm-hmm. I'm just relieved that they won. You saw improvement, but you need to continue that arrow needs to be pointed up, and you need to see improvement from, you know, the different features from Miller to Javon Wims. Hopefully Jesper Horsted's going to contribute a couple more catches this week. And you know, I just want to see guys get better on the way to a win. So that's for me. I was just relieved that they were able to beat them.
What do you think of the matchup with Dallas?
Man, I think it's exciting. I think their defense plays really fast up front, and sometimes they play so fast they get themselves out of position and you can take advantage of them. But if these guys, if they feel that they have the advantage against you by bringing multiple bodies at the quarterback position, trying to confuse the line of scrimmage in terms of their pass protection responsibilities, and now bodies are being set free. Jalen Smith, he's got 40 more tackles than the next leading tackler on the football team. He's all over the field. So I think it's going to be a matter of if – Cornelius Lucas still plays offensive tackle in place of Bobby Massey, and you got Charles Leno on the other side. Those guys are going to have their hands full because they They bring a lot of distractions out there to the edge. Robert Quinn and Lawrence are good rushers. So, you're going to have to make Mitch feel safe in order to efficiently get it out of his hands.
They're blitzing a little bit more with Jalen Smith this year. Notre Dame, by the way. I'm surprised Tom didn't mention that already.
Man's unbiased.
Yeah, a great story coming back from the torn up knee, and he has been terrific. But is he so good that he makes offensive coordinators have to game plan away from him?
Yeah, I think, his defensive line really helps contribute because his defensive line, they rush the passer, and if they happen to pass up a running back, they will tackle him. But it's not about, giving the offensive lineman a lot of time to have this secure double team to get up to the second level. A lot of times the linebacker is, facing an unblocked route to the running back, or else the offensive linemen aren't quick enough to get up to that second-level combination block because they're so worried about getting the first-level blocked. And he takes advantage of it. He's a really smart player. He's a good athlete. And when he's got a couple of the other linebackers that he gets a chance to play with that are injured right now, man, he's got a lot of tackle opportunities, more because of the speed of his defensive line.
13 weeks are in the books, Tom. Which two teams do you like the best today to participate in Super Bowl 54?
Man, it's, as long as the guy in stays healthy in Baltimore. Baltimore, I got to say that. And, I can't even say. I mean, I'm going to say San Francisco because I don't want to say Aaron Rodgers.
So much for being unbiased. That's awesome.
Can't give it to the Packers.
All right, Tom. Thank you as always, man. That was fun.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
See you soon.
That's Tom Thayer on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline.
Lamar Jackson of the Ravens, and I can't say the – I'll go with the Niners. I can't say the Packers.
You've had some
bliss right past the Saints.
Some real anti-Wisconsin guests on the show. Pete Bursich and Tom Thayer.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I want to divorce myself from all thoughts akin to those of Pete Bursich or Paul Charchian, both of whom live in Minneapolis, near Minneapolis, and feel that Wisconsinites are just the worst. I love the state of Wisconsin. When they make those comments on this radio program, they do not represent the views of me or of WSCR Radio.
I, a couple years ago, I tried to put together a deal where we, build a wall, And, the thing is it's they keep, why would you want to keep people out? And I'm like, no, it's about keeping people in. It's about keeping those people in Wisconsin where they belong.
I giggle, but I love Wisconsinites. I love all of you. I love it when you come here. I love it when I go there.
My dad's whole family's from Wisconsin. I've had some great times there.
Wisconsin's a great state. You always feel welcome in Wisconsin. You know why? Because you are.
What states do you not feel welcome in? You would say Philadelphia, right? That you've told that story.
More
before.
Of a city.
More
than
of a
city.
Also Pennsylvania. I'm aware. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I walked right into that one. That's
so it's fun. A spider more than it is a snake.
Yeah, okay.
Wisconsin people, man, they'll pour you a beer. They got a bratwurst for you. There's always a block of aged cheddar nearby.
The best non-actual, watching of a game memory I have is going to my first Packers game. And you're used to going to a Bears game here where Soldier Field is. It might be the closest of any of the stadiums from downtown to get to, but it's the hardest to get to. It's damn near impossible unless you're walking. Parking sucks. Everything sucks.
Right.
Lambeau Field, you order and you get a $10 parking spot on the internet on the drive up, pull into the guy's lawn, your kitty corner from the stadium, and you start to walk out and I'm wearing a Bears hoodie. And the guy yells, where are you going? Where are you going? Got to have a Bush Light with me if you're going to park on my lawn. Yep. Okay. Yep. And then you're getting fed brats, and you're like,
At that person's house.
This would never happen in Chicago.
I honestly have. Yeah, I've had that exact same experience parking at Lambeau Field.
This would never happen at home.
No, it's great.
Because they're owners, so...
That's right. They own the team.
Got the piece of paper that proves it.
I love the entire state, man. I do. I spend a lot of time in it every summer driving through it. Driving through it, yeah. And I start in the 414, go through the 608, up to 715, all the way through Superior and into Duluth, Minnesota.
Show off over here.
Yeah. NBC Sports Chicago, they run like the infomercials for Travel Wisconsin, and they've got one that's just about their supper clubs. And I'm like, I would watch this on Netflix. Like, I would watch an entire series of this every day.
Well, we're going to be there. We're going to be in Kenosha at the world famous Brat Stop.
Yeah, iconic. I think iconic. I heard in the promo. Yes.
Yeah,
iconic.
December 13th. The Score's broadcasting there all day. And when we talked about this yesterday, people were saying that there's a pass or there's a trail. There's like some stuff that you can do to pick up to do a bar crawl through Kenosha, and that it's all there's all sorts of little hidden gems that we can stumble into Thursday night.
I'm up for anything. I'm also, you know, I like parking my fat ass in a chair and just sitting and BSing, but I'll crawl with you guys if that's what you want to do. I'll go along for the ride. I'll do anything once, twice if I like it.
There will be chairs at all of the places that we'll be crawling to, so it won't be too many steps for you. Don't worry.
Yeah, that'd be good.
December 13th, we'll be at the Brat Stop, but that's a week from Friday. This Thursday, December 5th, we are at Tavern in the Green in Evergreen Park with Miller Lite. We're leading right up to the Bears pregame show. So we'll have we'll have Olin and Manley on in the 5 o'clock hour if you want to meet them. Mm-hmm. Shep is hosting pre and post, so we'll all be out there. So if you want to come out, get some Score swag, have some Miller Lite, have some great bar food, Tavern in the Green in Evergreen Park. We'll be there Thursday starting at 2, leading
Fantastic.
Up to Bears and Cowboys.
Let's call it our show Christmas party, the Illinois version.
Yeah, we got to have a dinner of the four of us,
no? Well, I mean, yes, but with listeners.
Okay. Right. Well, I was saying.
How about the four of us will go to the Brat Stop on a random Tuesday night?
Yeah, you know, you ask everyone's opinion about who the Cubs are going to trade. You skip over me, then you want to do the show Christmas party without me back here in the studio.
Sorry, Tanny. You're on the record for Descalso, and you are invited to the show Christmas party if you'll show up this year. If you'll grace us,
there's no way they'll let me leave here.
No, when we actually do a little
we
better.
Do. We have to pick a date. Danny and I mentioned that to me yesterday. He said, "Absolutely, let's pick some dates. Let's get out and let's celebrate. Let's eat meat."
Yes, we will. Shep, we'll talk to you during the break about what day works for you. I think the three of us have one. So we'll see if new Papa Shep has a date that works for him. I'm glad you reminded me. There's a report from Bob Nightingale about who the Sox are targeting to be their right fielder, and it's not in free agency. It's a trade. We'll give you the name and the report next on the Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
If you guys want to have Bob Nightingale on to talk about it, you guys can certainly do that.
Thank Thank you, Jed Hoyer. I don't think we're going to call him today, but maybe if you break some news, bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Northwestern Basketball has third-ranked Michigan State at the new Welsh Ryan Arena December 18th. Tip-off set for 7. Tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale now at NUSports.com.
So something might happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it could happen, right? What's he
anything
got now?
Anything can happen. Something could happen. Not anything will happen.
And he is saying that something could happen with the White Sox trading for Jock Peterson of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Jock Peterson, in his final year of arbitration, he'll be a free agent in 2021. So you'd think if you're signing him or trading for him, you're trying to sign him.
Has a bit of a resemblance to Shep, not as much as Trevor Bauer, but I think Shep's got a little Jock Peterson in him.
Last season hit .249 with a .538 slugging percentage, OPS of .876.
Jock Peterson's turning into what Brian Roberts was for the Cubs in like 06, 07.
The Sox just try to trade for him every year.
Every year, it's Brian Roberts. How is Jim Hendry going to get Brian Roberts? And then 5 years later, Brian Roberts was out of baseball and was never donning a Cubs uniform.
So how is Jock Peterson's glove relative to his position? I don't
have good.
He's better than the left fielder.
At least the reputation around the league is that it's a solid glove.
Right, I know it's not bad. I just don't, you know, never a Gold Glove winner. He had one time All Star. Plays a bunch of different positions, but yeah,
been a large platoon guy as well for a good chunk of his career.
Yeah, but had the highest OPS of his career last year. Defensive versatility,
decent player.
Plays a lot of right field. Career on base percentage of .339. Could do a lot worse than him in right field.
It could happen. No one's saying it's going to happen.
That's right.
It could happen.
It's on the table.
I want you ruining this deal now, Danny, by talking about this. Remember, this is a Jock Peterson trade last year at Sox Fest. That was the deal that was killed by Twitter.
Yes.
Bad Twitter.
This is the deal that made Rick Hahn so upset. He hates Twitter. God.
That's great.
You know, you're exactly right.
So what are you going to give up for him?
I don't know.
What are you giving up for Jacques? Jacques.
I doubt it would be.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. The Dodgers, they have still one of the better farm systems in all of baseball, right? I don't know what their outfield depth looks like organizationally, but it's a guy, you know, still. He's got, what, a year of arbitration left?
So this is his last year.
Yeah.
So you're trading for just 1 year of a guy who's expected to make about $8.5 million, according to MLB trade rumors, in arbitration. So it's not going to break the bank this year. But again, you could sign him if he's open to it.
He's only 27. I thought he was older than that.
He'd probably want to hit free agency.
Seems like he's been around forever.
Yeah, absolutely. So when did he make his debut? Made his debut
14.
In 2014. First full season was 2015, where he finished 6th in the Rookie of the Year. So 5 full seasons for Jock Peterson.
Mm-hmm. That is his name, too. Jock, J-O-C. It's not shortened from anything. His name is Jock Russell Peterson.
Nickname Dizzy. How about that? All right. You like it, Tanny?
You know what? Hang on a second.
Can we get it?
You like it? I like it.
I'm fine with it. I kind of, you know, watching Jock Peterson.
It's not the question. It's not, are you fine with it? Do you like it?
You know, watching Jock Peterson in the home run derby this past All-Star game, I kind of, you know, I envisioned him in a Sox uniform a little bit. I like the story. He had his brother, Champ, I believe, who had Down syndrome, I think.
Yes.
You know, it was so cool seeing, you know, them hug it out after, you know, every round. And I fell in love with the personal interest story of it. And also, I was trying to look at that swing and see how it would profile, you know, a nice left-handed bat. Would be nice. So
Tanny scouting the home run derby for you.
Hey, man. This guy hits a lot of home runs.
Hey,
I like
man.
It.
I know. Yeah. Can we get this guy who's pitching to him as well?
Hey,
on the Twins.
The home run derby has become the most interesting baseball event in the month of July.
And when your team's going through a rebuild, you will grasp onto anything possible that could be interesting.
I've loved it each of the last 2 years. I'm fascinated by it. I think it's a tremendous exhibition, and I think it's one of the few things baseball on a national level has gotten right.
Yeah, they still screwed us with that rule last year. I haven't forgiven them for that.
2 years ago, yeah.
That was 2 years ago now?
Yeah, that was 18, right?
Wow,
yeah,
you were off a long time.
You were off in Europe in 19. I have no doubt that you missed it. Very, very exciting when all the muscle men, the hairy-chested thumpers are standing on their podiums, podii. Is it Podii? They're on their platforms and the loud music, they each get a song. It was cool. It was good theater. Baseball could use more of that.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with you, which is why I think they should figure out some way to incentivize a signing period for free agency in baseball, because stuff like this is good for the sport if it turns into actual action.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the winter meetings, right, starts Sunday, Bruce Levine will be there for the score. If Sunday through Thursday there was $1 billion worth of free agent contracts agreed to and a couple of big trades, that'd be a great week of buzz for Major League Baseball. Now, is it going to overtake the National Football League? Of course not. But that would be a good thing for baseball if they could condense a few like pockets of time where they were relevant outside of their season.
Especially locally, because we don't have a lot of warms and fuzzies with the other clubs right now, necessarily. So
no.
White Sox good news would be a good thing. So you have a new catcher, an all-star catcher. You two all-star catchers. Wow. Adorn your lineup. That's how good the White Sox are.
Yeah, Nightingale mentions in this piece that the White Sox have spent the most money of any team in baseball since the season ended, with the Abreu news, the Grandal news, and the McCann news.
Tell you what, they should print that article, blow it up, and put it on the outside of the ballpark so everybody can see it. Look what we've done!
More money still to come.
Beating their chest.
Put it on the old Bigsby and Crothers building.
How clear is that a line, by the way, that's fed from a White Sox source? You know, Bob, we've spent more money than anybody else so far this offseason.
Yeah, I like Bob, but the whole last offseason with the Machado stuff and Bob and
yeah, he's tied in, right? He's Kenny's
guy. Yeah.
He's Kenny's mouthpiece. So from Kenny's mouth to Bob's pen.
What else do they need? Zach Wheeler, Jacques Peterson, Yasmani Grandal, and one more piece.
Anthony Rendon,
that's it.
Tony Two Bags.
That completes the wish list.
Tony Two Bags looks like the kind of guy you live next door to. You're having car trouble, and he fixes your car before you spend thousands of dollars at a mechanic. Just that nice of a guy. Knows what he's doing.
All right.
I like him.
It's a big offseason for your guys. You're getting Tony Two Bags.
But also, our guy, J.P. John Paul Morosi, has the Sox linked to Castellanos. So lots of stuff floating around out there.
So
it's exciting times for Chris Tannehill.
Based on the signing of the best catcher available, one local columnist believes that the White Sox front office managerial combination is the finest in town. Is that what Rick Morrissey was telling us 2 days ago? Was that the genesis of his piece?
Yeah.
The White Sox. The White Sox are top shelf.
What a fantastic turn of events. If you love the Chicago White Sox, and I'm falling in love by the breath.
It's so asinine.
How can you say that?
Because we've talked about a Rick Morrissey column more on this show in the last 48 hours than in the last 2 years, so that's how. You say something outlandish, and then people talk about it for 36 hours.
Does it matter if no one reads it?
I don't know.
Like it's great, it's great you're talking about it, but if no one ultimately goes and purchases a paper or signs up for a Sun-Times subscription, does it really do you any good?
I don't know, man. Listen, I know we haven't seen David Ross as a manager, but if we're doing GM managerial rankings and Theo Epstein's in the conversation, I'll take Theo Epstein over anything with Rick Renteria attached to it, and I'll still say that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are better than what that's all about.
There's one in town that I know that they had a little bit of cap problems and couldn't field the full roster last night. They won three championships.
Oh boy.
Well, let's just put it this way. Boylan and
all right, that one.
That's last. but that one wasn't last either.
If you build it, they will come.
That I don't know how that one can't be last.
That's the most degree. It's the Sox thing, whatever. That's fine.
Like, there's
the Bulls not being
last is
egregious.
You see the school picture of like the kid sitting by himself in the class photo? He's like sitting 10 feet to the right of the whole rest of the class. Like that's kind of where Boylan and the Bulls are right now compared to the rest of Chicago
right.
sports.
You seen that movie?
Oh, we've seen the movie.
His players don't listen to him.
Yeah.
Don't listen to him. They don't
stand
they around
don't
him during a timeout. All right, timeout, guys. Let's talk. All right, coach, we'll be 20 feet over here.
But then Wendell Carter after the game saying the thing that gives him encouragement, because he has spoken some truth to power here. He has not been all rose-colored glasses after these games. He's been negative at times. He said the thing that gives him optimism is that they're all buying into the system and that they're all still together and the team is not splintering. So if you want to put stock into words, and Wendell Carter's words specifically, That would sound pretty good for Jim Boylan. But well, that video was
not
damning.
Splintering is, that's just the absence of complete free fall. That's not togetherness, just that they're not splintered yet,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, buying into the system.
That's a very low bar.
That's what Bulls fandom is in 2019.
Stop
It's just a series low bars.
Don't go. You're enabling John Paxson.
Secondary market prices plummet if there's not a superstar in town. But the face value tickets are still absolutely exorbitant. Six of the next seven at home, by the way.
Knock yourself out.
Win. Win some of these games. You got the Grizzlies with no Ja Morant. Win that game. Beat these bad teams.
They've had bad teams served up for them, and they've given up 120 points against some of them.
I'm aware. I'm just... They had a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter last night.
Mm-hmm.
Almost blew it. Didn't. Got one win on the road trip. Coming home. Win. You're better than the Grizzlies at home. Period. Especially without Ja Morant. You're better than them. You should win that game by double digits. You should blow that team out. Let's go. Let's get back on respectability here. 32 wins. Here we come. They need a point guard in the worst
32
way.
32 wins.
Well, last night I'm watching, and they're celebrating after the game because it was the first time this year that Markkanen and LaVine had 20-plus in the same game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how easy that is to do in the NBA this year?
Yeah, that's crazy it's taken them this deep into the
season. That's insane.
I know.
They're the two best offensive players who all they do is chuck threes.
I know.
And you can't get 20 points together in the same game? The over-unders in these games are 217 points.
Seems hard to do. It hasn't happened until last night.
It's been on Markkanen, and Markkanen's been awful, and he was pretty good last night. He hit four threes and was pretty aggressive. But they need to figure out a point guard, man, so that those guys don't have to play off of each other constantly. And they're not going to get one in season, but that is still their biggest need. I know everyone talks about Boylan, and the biggest problem is the front office and like the incestuous nature of it and how they all have jobs for life. But on the court every night, if you're a Bulls fan watching that product, it's no point guard. Because they just, it's one-on-one basketball. Way too often. Guys catch the ball and they're like, I don't know what to do with it. And then they kick it out for a 3-4 feet behind the arc, or Wendell Carter passes up wide open jumpers, or they're rotating it around to Chris Dunn, who's hosting threes. It's like, God, just run a pick and roll with two good players.
Yeah, that's okay.
Shouldn't be that hard. All right, I'm done. How about your Hawks last night, huh? Speaking of nothing going on in the winter sports.
They put the puck on net, at least.
The Hawks?
Yeah. Jake Allen had their number. Boy, are they falling apart.
They really are.
Man, remember when they were on a four-game winning streak a while back? Patrick Kane's streak is snapped last night at 15 because could not get one past number 34, Jake Allen, the Stanley Cup champion, St. Louis Blues netminder.
Did you like the way Robin Leonard called out the defense after yesterday?
I did. It was a great quote.
Fantastic quote.
It was a great quote. It really was. I was locked in on all things Hawks quotes over the weekend. Come to me on the final word. Fox 32, Sunday nights, for all your Hawks information. Taney says that to promote the TV show, we're just going to take my answers to hockey questions.
Oh, that's a good idea.
On the television show.
Because you're going to get one a week during
probably,
the winter.
Probably get one a week.
I was on board with Big Ant during that. I was stunned you did not want to put more teams in a college football playoff.
Oh,
I thought for sure when that was thrown out there, I'm like, this guy's going to want a damn NCAA 64-team tournament.
We'll talk about that. We can talk about why that's not a good idea based on the current system. These teams don't deserve it. You want a 3-loss team in the playoff?
Heck no.
Okay.
I just know that usually,
I like games.
You are usually like in terms of expansion and that part of it, like forward thinking on it. I thought for sure you were going to want at least 8, if not 16 teams.
It doesn't lend itself to that in that sport if they're not compensating the players. You're going to have a 16-game schedule for the playoff teams, and then it's the NFL. It's not that far off from it being there already, but we can get into it if you want. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score. This segment brought to you by Fogo de Chão Brazilian Steakhouse. Treat yourself and your guests this season with a visit to Fogo de Chão Brazilian Steakhouse, where you can have it all. Discover your favorites at Fogo in Chicago, Rosemont, or Naperville. Reservations at Fogo.com. Someone said, guys, that's plenty of college football talk. Please, no more. Thank you. We don't really need to get into it too much. I just think college football's regular season is special because every loss feels significant for your national title hopes. And
you're going to have three lost teams in the college football playoff. Like, why couldn't you look at the Iron Bowl last week between Bama and Auburn as a de facto playoff game, right? Like, that eliminated Alabama from the playoff, and it made that game huge. If there was an eight-team playoff, that game would not be nearly as big. The rivalry games would not matter as much. The conference championships would not matter as much. And until you're going to put in a system that compensates kids and makes it what it is, professional football, because based on the television deals, that's what this is. It's just a different form of professional football. I can't keep advocating for the expansion of this system if the kids aren't going to get a part of the revenue.
I'm okay with a four-team playoff. I have no issues with that in any way. Look, I'm so old, I remember the Brigham Young Mythical National Championship team and all of the arguments that have ensued over the years, going back to the Scores first year on the air. When it was Miami or Washington, there was a lot of debate. Co-national champions. They've got a four-team tournament. I'm fine with that. It's worked fine. It's perfect.
Yeah, I think it's been pretty good. Mr. College Football?
I hate the idea of expanding it, but I'll even take it a step further. Further? I'm always confused on the usage of
farther
this.
Farther is distance. Further is degree.
Okay, because to Danny's point about the college football playoff games already essentially being played, Bama and Auburn the other day, been other ones throughout the year. If it really was that way, then why have we devalued a conference championship? Why should, if LSU loses ultimately on Saturday to Georgia in the SEC championship game, yes, their resume is the best of anyone in the country, beaten top 10 teams, top 15 teams. If you don't win your own conference, why are you then more deserving than actual conference champions if the Power Five or what we're told are these are your elite?
Well, because they're
schools.
Not all created equal, right? So, like, why I like that there's human beings in there and not a computer is because then a little common sense can come in and we could say, okay, if LSU has one loss and it's a close loss to Georgia in the SEC title.
Sure,
game,
but couldn't this work as your de facto Elite Eight playoff game? Winner of this game goes. Georgia upsets LSU, they go. LSU, this is your first round playoff game.
Yeah, but why do they have to be eliminated? Like, because what will happen is, like, if LSU gets one loss, I want to then compare their resume to the other one loss teams.
Exactly.
Sure. And their resume is better.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Like, that's what I think that what the committee allows for is a little bit of common sense where, listen, if you're an undefeated team from a Power 5 conference, you're going to go. In this system, you'll go.
Right, but then LSU wouldn't be an undefeated team from a Power 5 conference.
Correct, but there won't be four of them. If there were, right, if the ACC right. champ, the Big Ten champ, the Pac-12 right. champ, and the Big 12 champ were all undefeated conference champions, then LSU would be eliminated. But since that's not the case, then the committee can say, all right, which of the one-loss teams has the best resume and is the best team, would be favored on a neutral field, that sort of thing, and that will, in this case, be LSU.
I hate the idea of, I shouldn't say I hate the idea, because I think ultimately you have a real good chance here of it being your four best teams, at least by the eye test, whatever stat you want to throw out there, of it being that if things play out right this weekend. But I think it devalues the regular season when you go to a conference championship game, and ultimately you probably have three teams. I think I'll put Clemson in that degree
where they could lose this weekend
where you
and still
could lose
make the
this
playoff.
Weekend it doesn't matter. And then why even play conference championships if being a conference champion has no bearing necessarily on you going to a college football playoff or not?
You know the answer to that question.
Yeah, money is the answer, but then also that's just how it worked out this year, right? If there were stronger teams, if college football wasn't as top heavy as it is, and Bama, like if Bama beat Auburn, for example, last week, then that would not be the case because there'd be another really strong one-loss team that could sneak in. So if there were more teams than just three or four programs that were really damn good, you would need to win all of these games. But the problem is the sport's so top-heavy, and because it's based on scholarships, you can't say to a kid, hey, you can't go to Alabama if that's where you want to go because we need parity. You need to go to Ole Miss. Like, you can't impose that on a kid when it's under this guise of education. So I think that's the problem they're going to run into there. But I like the committee. I think it's working so far. We have not had a scenario where I felt like a team that deserved to play for the national championship where four hasn't been enough. Once we get to that scenario, if that exists, then I'll be open to the conversation. But we've been doing this since, what, 2014?
And there hasn't been one.
I think 14, yes.
And there hasn't been.
Yeah, who's probably the most controversial? The Ohio State team that didn't win the Big Ten?
Yeah, but so if that's the one that's closest to it, they didn't win the conference and they had a loss. It's like how upset can I get if there's never been a year where I felt like a team who deserved to play for the national championship
right.
wasn't invited for the playoff? Right. Like, I'm not going to get bent out
I'm
of shape
upset
over
preemptively for the team that will be screwed in 2026.
Like, Minnesota doesn't deserve it.
Right.
Oregon,
I agree with you. Yeah.
Oregon won't deserve it.
Like, as of right now, yes, I agree with you. Like,
so get me to a scenario where that is no longer the case.
I think that your one thing is going to be, and I don't like either of their team's chances. I don't like Utah. If they win this week, I don't like their chances against LSU, Ohio State, or Clemson, whoever they would end up facing, or Oklahoma, or Baylor, for that matter. I don't think either of them, any three of those three, win a playoff game. But just the fact of, that's kind of where I think that there's a great debate of, all right, who is the most deserving for that number four spot, depending on what happens this weekend. Obviously, Utah has to win, Oklahoma or Baylor have to win. But yeah, I think there's significant argument to be had of, like, who's deserving of that spot, not to say that any of those three teams are as good as the real top three.
Listen to Shep's College Football Podcast. Tanny says goodbye to Addison Russell as only he can, next on The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.